Good morning. Before I give you the notices, Helen would like to come up and say something. It's a bit being like at school, this is, when they ask anyone if they've got any news, but Helen's got some various news to give us. Thank you.
Sorry. Okay, just thought it'd be good to keep you up with people at church at the moment, keep up to date with people. So a lot of you have got to know Majid, who's been with us every week, and he's been working on the PA system. Yeah, that one, yeah, that person there, yeah. We've got to know him quite well. Well, last Monday, I think you know, we prayed for him in the hall around the table, actually, because he knew on Monday he was getting a phone call to say he'd got to move and they were going to tell him the next place he had to go to. Well, he didn't have the phone call on Monday, but on, was it Wednesday? Thursday, we had a message to say he's now in Birmingham. So it's a bit sad because he said, I've got a bike. But I said, well, it's a bit far to get on your bike, Majid. So, but he says he's happy. So that's a good thing. And hopefully he's in a better place now to get work. He also said he's grateful for all the kindness of the people here at our church. And I'll tell you how he ended it. He said, praise the Lord our God who takes good care of each one of us. And what a way to end, isn't it? You know, so that was good. That's one thing. Also, some of you may have heard that Rita had a fall here on Friday. She just stepped back on one of the steps in the choir and went face down. She looked quite a mess. But you know Rita, she's a strong woman, Rita is. And anyway, she was here for about an hour. They helped her get steady and everything. And Bob took her home. That's why her car's in the drive and it'll be moved tomorrow. We've been ringing her every day and she says, I'm okay. Rita says she's okay all the time. When she cleaned herself up, I think she felt a bit better. But just pray for Rita. You know, it knocked her up. It shook her up and it shook all of us up as well. But she was well taken care of. And that's why she's not here this morning. So we're going to pray for Majid and we're going to pray for Rita as well. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the joy that Majid brought into our lives, not just on a Sunday, but when we met with him in the week. We thank you, Lord, for the help that he received from Joanne to learn his English language on a Friday morning. Lord, just help us to keep serving one another in whatever way we can do. Lord, show us how to use our gifts to help one another as well. And so, Lord, we bring Majid before you. And Lord, above all, Lord, we just pray that you will find a church that he feels happy in, a church that will support him, and a church where he feels he can really worship you. And Lord, as far as the job goes, Lord, you know everything. And Lord, we just pray that soon he will be in a job and in a better place to carry on in this world. Lord, we pray for Rita. Well, Lord, we thank you for her faithfulness and we thank you, Lord, that she is a strong woman. And Lord, we just pray for her now. Lord, when it happens to your face, Lord, it doesn't look good to everyone else at all. And we just pray, Lord, that you will help those injuries on her face to heal up. We thank you, Lord, for her cheerfulness and we thank you, Lord, for the way she serves you. And also, Lord, we pray for Diane, that, Lord, you will be with her, that, Lord, you will continue, Lord, with those improvements after her operation, that, Lord, she will soon feel a lot better. We just thank you, Lord, that daily she is just getting there. And, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will carry on. And, Lord, soon she will be feeling great again. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Helen. The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will be held and the craft group will meet in the Jubilee Hall. On Saturday, the Wesleyan Reform Union general meetings will be held at Jump and on Zoom. And next Sunday, the service will be led by Reverend Steve Macbeth and the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. It's my pleasure to welcome you this morning, Roger, and I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's good to be with you and to share with you again this morning. For those who don't know, my name's Roger Gadsby. I'm a retired GP, academic, Coventry, quartered in Coventry, became a Christian at Folsom Road, been a lay preacher about 50 years now. Ooh, he doesn't look that old, you're supposed to say. So it's lovely to be with you again, and I've been able to come and take services here for a good number of years now. Some of the faces I know. So lovely to be with you and to share with you. Is it working?
No.
You're on mute. Sorry, have I turned it on?
Wasn't on. That's better. Don't have to shout quite so loud now, do I? Smash him. So that's who I am, and it's lovely to be able to be with you this morning and to share. And the theme I'm bringing is from Psalm 46, and the first verse says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And we'll be thinking about that, the whole psalm, but particularly that verse and one verse later on in that psalm throughout our service this morning. And I hope that we can be able to apply it into our lives so that we can understand how this applies to us and how we can find God as our refuge and strength in whatever troubles we are in and whatever concerns and problems we have in our lives. We're going to sing a first hymn together, and it's the wonderful hymn, In Christ Alone, as we think in this hymn of all that God's done for us, particularly in Jesus and on the cross, and that we are forgiven through all that Jesus has done for us. So let's stand and sing, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found.
of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power.
Holy Spirit, we come to praise and worship you this morning. And Lord, as we've sung in that hymn, we acknowledge that you alone are our hope. You have died on the cross. You have called us to yourself. You have forgiven us. And we praise you and worship you, our Lord and our God. And Lord, we ask that you will again forgive us for our sin and failure, that you will enable us to draw close to you this morning. You will enable us to understand and apply your word, and that you will speak to us and enable us to be your followers, your servants. For we bring all our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the question I ask, not do you have any problems or troubles, because we all do, don't we? There are troubles in our world today, and as we come to worship, the ongoing crisis in the Middle East has flared up, and there is such horror and such concern that we read about in our newspapers, we see on our televisions, troubles in our world. And the ongoing war in Ukraine too. And these global situations, also of earthquake and famine, these things can challenge our faith. Because those who don't believe in God turn round and say, hey, you Christians, people who follow Jesus, where is your God in all this? Jesus came and lived and died in Israel. And he came as the fulfillment of the promises given to the leaders of that nation over 2,000 years before he came. And people say, well, if there's a God, if there's a God who is particularly interested and concerned for the Middle East, why is there all this fighting and bloodshed? Why is there horrors and atrocities? And these sort of things can challenge our faith and can cause us concern. Where is God in it all? And in your own lives, in my life, in our lives, there are problems and troubles. On the personal level, there may be concerns about health, bereavements in the family, loss of loved ones. There may be concerns about employment, and in the current situation, concerns about how we're going to pay our energy bills, which have gone up so much. How are we going to be able to afford rent and mortgages, which have gone up so much? How are we going to be able to buy enough food when the prices of food have gone up so much? Problems and troubles of all sorts in our lives. And the challenge is, who do we turn to in our time of trouble and of difficulty? Are we like those who perhaps scoff at the Christian faith and say, where's God in it, in all your troubles? Do we therefore run away from God and begin to deny his existence, or certainly not want anything to do with him if all of these troubles come into our lives and situation? Or do we run to God with our troubles, in our troubles? Because that's what this first verse, this whole psalm is about, but particularly that first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So the challenge, the encouragement is from this psalm to run to God in our times of trouble. Not run away from him, run towards him. And you will find comfort and help in your trouble. And we'll expand on that a bit more a little later in the service. We're going to sing again, and it's a setting of Psalm 46. I've just checked it. It isn't in your books. But I think you do know. Well, Dave assures me you do know it. And I'll tell you why you know it in a minute. I don't know if you know, but the history of hymns written 400, 500, 600 years ago, why hymns were written is that as human beings, we find it easier to remember things when we sing them to a tune than we do just plain text. It's something in our brains. When there's a tune, we find it easier to remember things. In the same way, it's easier to remember poetry than it is just things that are in essay form. Because a poem has been set, has got things that rhyme usually, it's easier to remember. And so, hymns started in Christian worship because people put bits of the Bible to tunes so that we could remember them more easily. Because many people, 400, 500, 600 years ago, in the church in the Middle Ages, hadn't got the ability to be able to read. And the early Bibles were all in Latin anyway, so, you know, What hope was there? What hope was there for people just speaking English? So what hymn writers did was put bits of the Bible to tunes so that people could sing them and remember the words. So they learnt some of the Bible as they sang their hymns. Which is a long introduction for the fact that Richard Bewes, who's an Anglican clergyman who was at All Souls, I heard him speak there and preach there, in London, he set Psalm 46 to music. Now then, sometimes, if you know the Anglican Church, they have set psalms to chants. I don't find chants very easy to remember. But he set this to a tune that you all know. It's called the Dambusters March. Da, 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 da. Anyway, you know the Dambusters March. And so this is set to the Dambusters March. So even if you've not heard, well, you'll have heard the words before because it's Psalm 46, but set to the Dambusters tune. So we can sing it and help to remember it. A long introduction, so we'll sing Psalm 46. We're going to take up our offerings for God's work and give him the glory. Let's pray, shall we? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we can't earn your favour, but in gratitude for all that you've done for us, we bring these gifts of money to you, and we pray that they may be used wisely for your work in this place and further afield. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We turn to prayers of intercession, and clearly, as we've already shared, the situation in the Middle East on the southern Israeli and Gazan border is perhaps the area that we are led to in prayer, to pray that there might be a peaceful solution, that there might be the reduction in civilian casualties. And we pray that it may not develop into a further world war. And we continue to pray for Ukraine too, because when one war starts, another one tends to get forgotten. And obviously the situation in Ukraine is ongoing. So let's come and bring these big international situations to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we come to pray for the Middle East, and the area of this world that you know so well, Lord, because it's here where Jesus lived and died. And Lord, we've been shocked and so concerned, Lord, at the loss of life, the bloodshed, the taking of hostages, the involvement of civilian people, the degree of hatred between Palestinian and Israeli that is demonstrated. And Lord, we just bring the whole situation to you. Lord, we just don't know what the solution is going to be, but we pray that somehow lives may be saved, civilian casualties will be minimized, and that the war may not overflow to the other areas of the Middle East. Lord, somehow we pray that your peace might come into this troubled and difficult situation. We pray, Lord, for world leaders, for the USA, the president and the foreign advisor who's travelling in the Middle East. We pray for the contacts they make in Jordan, in Israel, in Lebanon. And we pray, Lord, that somehow a compromise of peace that will bring peace might come about. We pray, Lord, for the situation in Iran as that country seems to be one that is stirring up and supporting terrorist activity. Lord, we pray for all the players in this conflict, and ask that you will give them the desire for peace. And Lord, we remember too the ongoing war in Ukraine. And when the situation in the Middle East flares up, it tends to distract the world's attention from that ongoing situation in Ukraine. And we pray, Lord, for peace there. We pray that the Russian leadership might realize the error of its ways and seek to withdraw from the lands that have been captured. We want to pray, Lord, for a peaceful solution that is acceptable to the Ukrainian people into that war. We want to pray for the continuing support for Ukraine. And we want to pray that through it all, people may be drawn to you rather than drawn away from you. And Lord, that would be the prayer that we make into all of these situations. Lord, as we've reflected already on Psalm 46, you are there to provide comfort and refuge and help. And we pray that people, given the awfulness of war, may be drawn to you rather than drawn away from you. So we pray, Lord, for Christians working in Ukraine amongst the army and those on the front lines, for the Christian churches in Israel that seek to proclaim Jesus as the true Messiah. Lord, will you give to your church and to your people grace and strength to be able to cope in these times of trouble? And Lord, as well as these big international situations, we know you are concerned for us as individuals. And so we pray for those known to us who are in times of trouble and difficulty, that they might turn to you. Lord, we thank you for those prayers at the beginning of our service, for those known to this church and church family who are in need, and we bring them to you. And in a moment of quiet, Lord, we name people before you who need your touch of healing and help. So, Lord, we bring all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, I've referred to Psalm 46 already as being the theme for our service this morning. And so we'll read Psalm 46, and it's coming up there. And I'm going to read from the NIV. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So that's Psalm 46. We pray God will enable us to understand and apply it in our lives. You may know, and you will have read, that the last verse, verse 10 of that psalm, well, the last but one verse, says the words, "Be still and know that I am God." And I'll explain a little bit about how I think that applies in a few moments. But we're going to sing those words. They've been, again, set to a tune for us. And we can stand and sing, "Be still and know that I am God." So, God says in this psalm, if you turn to me in your time of trouble, I will be your refuge. We'll start with refuge. In the Old Testament, there was a law that if someone was killed, the relatives had the right to kill the murderer. God, in his wisdom, set up cities of refuge so that if someone had killed another person accidentally, they could flee to a city of refuge, and if they lived in that city, they were protected from the law that said they had to die because someone else had died. So this word refuge in this psalm talks about protection. And if you know and have experienced times of trouble in your life, what you need is protection. A place to go where those troubles cannot get to you. Let me apply that just very practically in the situation of debt. We're involved in our church in something called Christians Against Poverty. And I know from talking to the debt council manager who goes and visits people in debt, one of the things that people who are in debt fear most is the post in the morning. Because the post may be bringing challenges, saying that you owe this much money, You owe all of this money back, and we're going to come and possess your property and take away some of the things that you have. And people say that when they are part of a debt management program, and that these summonses and debts no longer come every morning, what a huge burden is lifted from their lives. And that's just an illustration of when we're in trouble, what we often need is a place of refuge. Somewhere to go where the troubles cannot get to you, where you're protected from those troubles and difficulties. And God says in Psalm 46, verse 1, He is that place for you to go. Often, when you're in a time of trouble and difficulty, one of the other things that you feel is very helpless. That this situation, whatever it is so big and so overwhelming that there's nothing you can do. You feel helpless. You feel overwhelmed. And what does God say? In Psalm 46, verse 1, He will be your strength. When you feel hopeless, when you feel helpless, when you feel overwhelmed, God says, come to me and I will give you that strength, that superhuman, supernatural strength to enable you to continue, and so that the problems and troubles will not overwhelm you. And what else does God say? That He is a very present help. God isn't like a human being that if you're relying on your best friend or your family in your trouble, sometimes they will be not able to be there for you. They're going to be on holiday, or they're going to be out when you phone up. God says that He is a very present help in time of trouble. God doesn't get asleep. He's always available to us 24/7, every day of the year. God is there for us and is there to help us and support us and encourage us, to give us the strength that we need, to be the refuge that we need in times of trouble. God is there for you. Don't run away from Him in time of trouble. Don't think that He's no longer interested because of your troubles and your problems. Whatever they are, run to God. We'll just have a brief look at some of the other bits in the psalm, but that's the most important thing from the message this morning. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. The Israelite nation were never a seafaring nation. They had the Sea of Galilee, but they were never the merchants and the sea traders. In fact, in the culture of Israel, in the time when the Old Testament was written, the early part of the Old Testament, certainly, the sea was something that the Israelite people were frightened of. Water and the sea and the deluge and the power of the waves were things that brought fright and worry to the people. And the psalmist is particularly thinking about the trouble that the collapse of the earth, earthquakes, and the problems that the sea can bring. And he says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, i.e. earthquake, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar, that the sea in its power in times of storm, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, even in those, the worst sort of problem and difficulty related to nature that the Israelite people could imagine, the worst of that, God says he is still our refuge and strength. Then the psalmist talks about the river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She'll not fall. God will help her at the break of day. And that's a picture of water in Jerusalem and the help and the comfort that water in Jerusalem brings. And again, back then to the power of God amongst the nations. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the Lord, the earth melts. And the refrain, the God, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And there is there a picture of the power and almighty power of God, and a picture too of the peace that God seeks to bring. We've prayed for the Middle Eastern situation. One of the, I think, reactions we sometimes have as human beings, or sometimes I have as a human being, I tell you, is when I look at the news, you think, oh, it's going through that, the Middle East is just going through those turmoils that it goes through every few years. There have been wars and rumours of wars in the Middle East for so long. Isn't this just an intractable problem? It will be there forever, and it's just a complete and utter mess. And there the psalm talks about God bringing peace. So when we pray for peace, we are praying in line with God's will. God wants peace to come. And we need to continue to pray for the Middle East and for that ongoing situation. But one more thought from the psalm. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I know from my 31 years as a GP, when people bring their problems to me as a GP, and particularly, let's just think for a moment about the problem and trouble of bereavement. One of the human reactions to a bereavement situation, one of loss, is to be busy. Have you heard the phrase, oh, they're keeping themselves busy so as not to have time, you might say, to think about their problem and difficulty. So one of our reactions as human beings into many different sorts of problem and difficulty is to, if you like, try and put that problem and difficulty into a corner, almost to forget about it, and to keep busy with doing other things. It's something that we do. Oh, if I keep busy, if I keep working, go back to work after a problem and difficulty, go straight back to work, pretend that everything's all right, that nothing really has happened, and I'll cope. It's not very good psychology, I can tell you, as a GP of many years. And it's not good theology, according to Psalm 46. Because as human beings, if we busy ourselves and try and use busyness to hide and mask our troubles and our problems, they have a habit of coming back and biting us. You hear so many stories, don't you, in our newspapers, in our colour supplements, of people who perhaps lose a parent or have a divorce, and they talk about the fact that for so many months and years, they never talked about the problem, be it a divorce, a marriage breakup, be it a family breakup, be it the death of a brother or sister. And years later, the issue, the problem and the trouble comes back. They have a nervous breakdown. They turn to drink or drugs. All to hide and mask the trouble. And what Psalm 46 verse 10 says is, be still, we've sung it, be still and know that I am God. And I think the application here is that in our time of trouble, in our time of problem, and with the fear of running away from God, don't do that, run towards God, and spend time in his presence, in his stillness, so that his refuge and his strength and his present help can be communicated to you. You've got to spend time in God's presence, not trying to minimize the problem, not trying to hide it in a corner and pretend it's not there, but to take it all to God. And if that involves you pouring out your heart and soul and saying, why, Lord, has this happened to me? I can't cope. Lord, help me. That's what God wants to hear. That's where his help can come. If you say you want God's help, but then rush around in your busyness doing other things and never bring it to him, how can he help? You need to spend time processing the problem and difficulty, processing what's gone on, shouting at God if you need to. He's got an open ear to hear. And the strength and the refuge and the help of God can come if you're still in his presence. I'll leave it there. Let's pray. Lord, help us in our times of trouble and with our problems to run to you and not away from you. Help us, Lord, to be prepared to be still in your presence so that we might know you and receive from you that strength that we need. And in that stillness, to be able to process our emotion and have your healing. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing again. And it is another song based on that verse. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is here. When we come into God's presence, in the quiet and the stillness, he promises to be with us. Where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he says he'll be there. When we go into God's presence, he promises to be there with us. So let's stand and sing, shall we? Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Let's pray the grace, shall we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.